Hydrogen is touted as one solution to climate change, as a way to replace dirty fossil fuels with a cleaner burning fuel for long-haul trucking or steel manufacturing, for example. But how that hydrogen is produced is at the center of a debate, as millions of federal dollars could flow into the Philadelphia region to establish a green energy hydrogen hub. From the Climate Desk, Susan Phillips reports that while hydrogen boosters see a cleaner future, others are sending up warning flags.
At a union hall in northeast Philadelphia recently, tempers flared.
I'd like the governor to please answer the question.
Yelling and shouting accomplishes nothing.
For this union.
Sit down.
Why was it picked here?
We're not here to hear you.
Sit the f*** down.
Please. Yes, that's Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro getting heckled at a recent public information session on how the region will become the hub of a new hydrogen economy.
On building a clean energy future here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Shapiro is a big booster of hydrogen to help solve our climate crisis. Building trades unions, fossil fuel executives, and politicians are all on board. But critics say it's the greatest boondoggle since the Concorde, or worse, a bait and switch. Promise green, but deliver the same old dirty hydrogen. When hydrogen is burned, it only releases water vapor. But the issue is how it's made. Right now, 10 million metric tons of hydrogen are made in the U.S. every year, and almost 100% is produced with fossil fuels. This includes the hydrogen needed to feed us all. It's a key ingredient in fertilizer. And hydrogen is used in oil refining. Proponents say green hydrogen would be different because it would be produced with renewables like wind and solar. On the campus of a former DuPont plant in Newark, Delaware, a group of researchers say they have the key to making clean and green hydrogen.
We are displacing bad hydrogen with good hydrogen.
Basal Lakshmanan is the chief technology officer for the startup Versigen. Right now, it's five times more expensive to make clean hydrogen than it is to make dirty hydrogen using fossil fuels. In the lab, Lakshmanan points to a prototype of the electrolyzer that Versigen says would be affordable, portable, and flexible.
And what you have is water going in through this pipe.
Water flows in, the electrolyzer zaps it, and hydrogen and oxygen flow out through two different tubes.
It's not a question of technical feasibility. It is a question of figuring out what is the lowest cost to produce that hydrogen.
To jumpstart the technology, money in the Inflation Reduction Act would be used to close the gap between the costs of dirty versus clean hydrogen. Versigen is one of the planned projects for what is known overall as the Mid-Atlantic Clean Hydrogen Hub, or MACH 2. Through the MACH 2 plan, the region stands to get about $750 million in federal dollars. Back at the Union Hall, the chairman of MACH 2, Colin O'Mara, pitches the plan as a win-win-win to the crowd. Make use of the area's oil refining infrastructure, cut carbon emissions, create good jobs, while at the same time, and this, O'Mara stresses, is key, avoid creating even more pollution.
We can have both kind of zero emission technologies, and we can have a ton of union jobs making things and show that Philadelphia can not just power, you know, the last century, but power the next century.
But if it's so great, why were people shouting down the governor?
Let's step back from the fairy tale world where just because I can imagine it and make a PowerPoint presentation that it's going to magically come true, and go into the real world where you actually have to compete.
Joseph Rome is a physicist and a senior research fellow at Penn. He began researching the viability of hydrogen for the Department of Energy back in the 1990s.
You've got to become a commercial product, and you've got to be safe and reliable and, you know, be able to demonstrate you have long-term viability so you can get low-cost financing. So all of that, right? Hydrogen's got none of that.
Rome says, first of all, hydrogen has safety issues that make it difficult to work with. It's prone to leak and ruin metals. It's highly explosive. And when it comes to long-haul trucking or buses, its competitor, lithium-ion batteries, continue to get better. And fast charging stations are growing. On the other hand, less than 60 public hydrogen fueling stations exist in the U.S., most in California.
There is no obvious advantage that you get from hydrogen in heavy-duty trucking.
Rome says green hydrogen does make sense to clean up ammonia production and oil refining, and to decarbonize steel production, all things that can't be electrified. But he says hydrogen won't outcompete electrification in any other sector. And while he supports research and development, he says scaling up a large infrastructure now is jumping the gun.
Should the federal government be dropping tens of billions of dollars on building hydrogen fueling stations and subsidizing the cost of hydrogen? No.
But hydrogen boosters believe in a future where there's excess wind and solar energy. So in that case, hydrogen makes a lot of sense.
The future of hydrogen and renewables are tied together at some level.
Brian Pivovar works at the Department of Energy's National Renewable Energy Lab in Denver, where he leads the federal government's research into hydrogen fuel cells and electrolyzers. He agrees that green hydrogen requires more green energy.
Have we deployed enough to do this? No, not even close.
Still, Pivovar says excess wind and solar actually need hydrogen because it's better to make hydrogen with it than just dumping it off the grid.
In the end, a sustainable energy system is what I would ideally like for the planet. And that system has to be based on renewables and hydrogen to a large part.
One person excited to talk about Philadelphia's hydrogen economy is Jim Snell. Snell runs the Steamfitters Local 420, where the contentious first meeting about the hydrogen hub took place. Snell says the energy transition from fossil fuels to hydrogen can't come soon enough.
To have something like this get awarded to us, a hydrogen hub, that industrial world coming back at some point, it's jobs.
Opponents like Tammy Murphy aren't buying Governor Shapiro's pitch. She says there's not enough wind and solar, and nuclear plants are shutting down.
So we don't really necessarily trust the energy sources that they say they're going to use or the longevity of those sources. It's going to be fairly obvious the resource available is the fossil fuels.
More public meetings about the Mid-Atlantic's hydrogen hub are on the horizon. And if it goes forward, it would be several years before any shovels are in the ground. For the Climate Desk, I'm Susan Phillips, WHYY News.